God, forever and ever. Blessed be the glorious name, your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heaven of heavens, and all their hosts, the earth and everything in it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. Ooh, praise his name. Let's worship him for who he is, what he's done, and what he will do. Praise God.
Welcome, everybody. That was a good word. Hallelujah. Doug, we love you so much. I just also want to read a few scriptures that were on my heart this morning. It's a pretty chaotic world that we live in, and we often experience a lot of hard situations that we don't expect. And in those times, it's really difficult to give it to the Lord and to just be still through it and let him fight our battles. But it says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That's enough. Know that I am God. Zechariah 2:13, be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have success. Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. So I'm going to ask this of you guys this morning. Before we start, we're going to have a moment to just say the name of Jesus over and over to ourselves or the Lord's Prayer. This is not something new. The Bible encourages us to be still and prepare our hearts for the Lord. So I just want to take this moment to be still and prepare our hearts for the worship that we're going to sing today and for the word that he's going to bring to us. So if we could just take a moment. Take that moment and give it to you. Lord, we praise you a lot. We sing about you a lot. We sing about how you help us a lot. But it's not often enough, I know, that I sing to you. So today, Lord, we offer this worship to you. It's yours. We're yours. We thank you, Lord, for your Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, open our hearts, our ears and our eyes and all our senses to be aware to your word today, Lord. Help us see things like we've never seen them before. Help us hear them like we've never heard them before. Speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Check, check. There we go. All right. Well, welcome to Potter's Hands. Beautiful worship. And this morning when I was having my quiet time with God, he said, you need to read just part of this today. So it fits so well with what we just heard. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. And then this verse, it started out saying, my soul finds rest in God alone. But in verse 5, it says, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. He is our rest. He is our rock. And we are here today to worship Him and to give Him all the glory. He's done amazing things this week, and we just want to praise God for that. Amen. before we hear from Kirsten, because Kirsten's going to give her testimony this morning, I just have one little announcement, and that is, this is kind of a pre-announcement. In a March 3 to 5, you maybe saw it in the bulletin, there's going to be a woman's retreat from this church, and I'm excited about it. I think every year, we've been doing this for quite a few years now. Every year, it just gets a little better because we get to know each other a little bit better, and we start to trust each other a little bit better. And I'm going to encourage every woman here, if you want to, come on out. It's a really good time of just getting to know God better, getting to know yourself a little better, and getting to know each other. Now, the reason I'm telling you now, because it's still 6 weeks, it is going to cost $100 for you. That's even a reduced rate. it costs a little bit more than that, actually, but we're going to top it off for you. So that might help you to save $5 each week or so to get, or maybe a little more than that. But if it doesn't, and the math isn't that good. but if you really, really want to come and you really don't have the money, you need to come see me. Or Kathy Rainville, and Kirsten. We're gonna kind of be the team that's planning this thing, and we're actually getting together this week to plan it out. So pray about it and see if you can come, because it will be worth it. It will be worth it. It will bless your heart. All right. So Kirsten, would you like to come? Now I'm just getting to know this young lady. She, and you know what? I think half of you know her really well, too, because she's an amazing lady. And she gives from her heart. And she's filled with God. So I'm just really excited to hear your testimony this morning. And I'm going to pray for you. God, I just lift up Kirsten to you today. I thank you for how you have worked in her life. It hasn't always been easy, but you've been there. You've been her strength. You've been her rock. And her soul finds rest in you.
So right now, Lord, open her mouth. Help her to speak her words and help us to receive them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. First of all, I want to tell you how much Darcy, my husband, and I appreciate this church. I just got to get my Bible open. It's just been such an honor to hear your stories. Some of you have gone through horrendous stuff, and you've allowed Jesus to come and take the broken pieces and make a beautiful vessel. And we're just so honored to be part of this fellowship. It's meant a lot to us. And how do you compress, whatever, a lifetime into 15 minutes? That's the challenge I'm facing today. What I wanted to tell you, first of all, though, is that you can be a Christian all your life, you can go to church all your life, you can do all the right things, so to speak, and still be broken inside. So that's my story. I was born in Sweden, that's why I talk funny, and I came to Canada in 1981, and 5 years later I met and married Darcy, and when I was 38 years old, there had been some stuff happening in our life. We had a foster child. It was a special program called Treatment Foster Home. So we had a particularly troubled young man in our home. And he was thrown out of every school in the town. And he ended up being put into an institution because he just could not function in society at that time. There were a lot of things around that story. But when that happened, I totally fell apart because I felt I had failed and all those kind of things. And the amazing thing was that God used that to open my eyes to my brokenness. Up to that point, I was the typical good Christian. I was always at church. I was always involved in church. And I probably would say I really did love God, but I was totally oblivious to my brokenness. I could sure see it in others, you know, that proverbial thing about seeing the speck in your brother's eyes and missing the log in your own. But we were in leadership in a church in Wetaskiwin, actually, at the time, and for some reason they had a leadership retreat and invited two Christian counselors. And as one of them spoke, I just broke down and cried from a place I didn't even know existed. And we made an appointment with this Christian counselor. And on their way there, I kept thinking, well, this is for people who have real problems, the people who have been sexually abused or something like that. And I was in with the counselor for about 5 minutes when I realized I had real problems. But I had been totally oblivious to that. So what had happened is that I grew up in a home. My parents were divorced before I was born. And when my dad found out that mom was pregnant with me, he wanted her to have an abortion, which she refused to. So when she refused, he decided that he would tell his side of the family that I wasn't his. So I grew up, I have cousins on my dad's side that still to this day don't really think that I'm related. So it's an interesting. So I met my dad for the first time for a full day when I was 25 years old. Before that, he would come. My brother was 7 years older than I am. So he would come and pick him up for weekend visits. But he wouldn't ever come, and I never saw him face to face. Now, I didn't think that was a problem. Like, I grew up thinking I had a pretty good childhood, and never it never registered that could be an issue. My mom, who was a very, very hurting woman, she had come to the Lord, but back in those days, nobody talked about healing of life's hurts. She had a very, very traumatic upbringing. So our home was very emotionally unsafe. I was meant to be her her joy. I was meant to keep her happy, kind of a thing. And I'm not at all pointing fingers, neither at my mom or my dad. They were broken people. But the fact is that how I grew up still affected how I reacted to life. And it also affected how I related to God. It's like you're an orphan when you can live, you can know all the right things. It's like I say, if I read a book about Darcy, I could read a whole book about him, all sorts of details, and unless I actually meet him, it's kind of pointless. So I had a ton of head knowledge. I could ramble off all sorts of stuff, but my heart had not really ever been touched. I felt like when I started my journey of healing, that's when I felt like I got saved, even though I had been a Christian all my life. And what I'm not saying anything that I had planned on saying, by the way. So I'm trying to tie this together. So what I'm trying to say is that discovering how it is to be a son or daughter is the crucial, crucial thing to walk with God. And the first thing we have to choose to do is to forgive those who hurt us, in this case, my father and my mother as well. And God took me through a journey of forgiveness and choosing to release them to the Lord. And then he has, in his mercy, kept putting people in my life to bring healing and healing. And this is an ongoing journey. Even when we had the Father's Heart Conference just a few months ago now, the Lord spoke to me again. And I'll give you a little glimpse what that looked like. When my dad would come to pick up my brother, I would stand in, we lived on the fourth floor in an apartment building, and I would stand in the window and see his car, and I'd see my brother go out to the car and they would drive off. Now, my mom was very fearful that I would choose to go and live with my dad, not that he wanted me, but anyway, in her fear-filled mind, that was an issue. And I would stand there, and like I couldn't want to go with dad because that would hurt my mom, but my dad also didn't want me to come with him. So you can kind of see how that affects a young child's heart, although I hadn't thought of any of that until I began my journey of healing. But when we were here at the Father's Heart Conference, there was a prayer time, and I don't even exactly remember what the topic was that was prayed for, but I got this picture in my mind of God being my father, coming out of the car, running up the four stories to come and get me. And they just brought such healing to my heart, and that's what I want to invite you to begin a journey of allowing the Father to father you, to allow him to heal the brokenness in your heart. And so we can journey together into the Father's heart. When you live like an orphan, everything is a competition. When you live like an orphan, God is the police up in the sky wanting to hit you when you step out of line. When you're an orphan, you're insecure and you're jealous. And those things, if we all became totally secure in our relationship with Father God, our churches would be beautiful. All the issues and all the offenses and stuff that happens in churches wouldn't even be there, because we are so secure in the Father's love that we extend grace, we extend mercy. I had talked about mercy and grace growing up in the church. I had no idea what it meant. We talked about it, but we didn't live it. When somebody was wounded or somebody fell, it was like, yeah, let's just kick this person that just fell. That's not how God's heart is. His heart is to gather us together and love us unconditionally, every single one of us. And that's the God that I know. And there was a time, because I knew my mom was all by herself when I was born, I had that picture of wishing that there would be a dad there welcoming me. And I had, this is part of my healing journey, and the Lord directed me to Psalm 22, verse 9, and it says, "Yet you, God, are he who pulled me out of the womb. You made me trust when on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God." That was his answer. He was there the whole time. My dad might not have wanted to be there, but what really mattered was that God was there the whole time, and he saw my life from beginning to end. And he did. If there's one sentence that I would summarize my life with, is that great is God's faithfulness. That's what I want to leave you with today.
You say amen to that? Great is God's faithfulness. And I know that Crystal and I both appreciate you guys so much. I know that our whole church, many of us have been blessed by Darcy and Kirsten, but God brought you to Potter's for me and Crystal. So the rest of the people are benefiting sort of, you know, otherwise, but they've just been so wonderful in our lives. I need you to know that. They've been joining us most Sundays for prayer and for healing and for helping us. And I just want to publicly say thank you. And it's true. God is a very faithful God. And he just keeps loving us, right? He says, "I love you. You're my son. And even if you're broken, I still love you." That's all I have to say today. Gaston, you want to come up? I'd like to pray. Every Sunday we hear God's word, and that means it's based on the scriptures. We hear what God says in his word. And today Gaston has been a brother for many years. He's bringing the word of God. Amen. Will you pray with me? Lord, today we pray for our brother Gaston. We thank you for his heart. We thank you for the journey that he's been on. We thank you, God, that he is a son of God that you love. We thank you for the way that you speak through him and that he demonstrates his love for you and his life. Thank you, God. Today we pray that your Holy Spirit will give him freedom, that he'll speak truth, that this will be clearly your word to your people on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. You know, when you come to Christ, you don't know that you have the Holy Ghost. You don't really know Christ. You just know him as a Savior. But the beautiful thing about God is that he gives you his Holy Ghost to walk according to his precept. Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy and your love. I read, this is my wife's little book that she reads. This is going to be a problem here. Hello. I'm not used to that. I'm going to read something to you. Can you read this? Probably better English than me.
I am able to do far beyond all that you ask or imagine. Come to me with positive expectations, knowing that there is no limit to what I can accomplish. Ask my spirit to control your mind so that you can think great thoughts of me. Do not be discouraged by the fact that many of your prayers are yet unanswered. Time is a trainer, teaching you to wait upon me, to trust me in the dark. The more extreme your circumstances, the more likely you are to see my power and glory at work in the situation. Instead of letting difficulties draw you into worrying, try to view them as setting the scene for my glorious intervention. keep your eyes and your mind wide open to all that I am doing in your life. Ephesians 3:20-21, and a few others.
Thank you. Isn't that true that it doesn't matter which part of God is in your life? Like when you come to Christ, you come to discover that He loved you, and you say, "Oh, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior," and then you accept Him, right? But at that point, you don't really know Him. But then maybe 10 years later, you have walked with Him, and you'll discover over time that He's really merciful, that He calls you with the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, and He guides you to a place where you can forgive yourself. Amen. You know, I am not a gifted speaker. That's why they pray so readily for me at the beginning. So I pray, Lord, that, you know, I heard that yesterday. Somebody asked me to come and speak and says, "We prayed for you." Oh, good. I need it. I read the... I believe that Christ is coming back soon. And what we're going to see more and more is the true fullness of Christ in the church. Where, you know, in the years past, we always saw the pastor being the main guy. But what we're going to see, we're going to see all of it together, where is the apostle and the evangelist will come, and the prophet. You know that all the apostle, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, and the prophet were given to the church for the edification of the church. But do you know that we have not seen the prophet very much teach the church? I was thinking of that today. So, but I believe that when, as Christ returns, you're going to see the pureness of the church come together. The pureness. Like I read the scripture today, it says, we are part of God. I'm going to read it here. Ephesians 4:15-16. Chad, can you put that up there? Ephesians 4:15-16. Grew up in Him, Christ the head. I'll read it from here. Instead, speak the truth in love. We will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. At each part does its work. So the important part here is that I'm not ashamed of who I am, because I'm no better than you are. I've just been justified, sanctified by Christ. And we're all part of the body. We're all essential to one another. That's why it says, love one another. That's why it says, bring each other up and protect one another. Because she's, say you judge her, she's no worse than you. She just struggled more than you are. You know, Stan, you have a gift, because this is not easy. I'm going to try this, okay? Now, you think that's easy. Anybody wants to interpret that?
Acknowledge that I am your Father. Acknowledge that I am your Son.
Amen. It says, Paul says that I would prefer that you would speak only a few words in tongues in the church, but prophesy so that the church would be uplifted. So let's pray there's more of that that comes this year. More of your word directly from the throne, Father, to encourage us. Amen. In John 16:13, Spirit of truth guides you into all truth. Actually, I want John 6:53-58. See, when you come to Christ, I'm an evangelist at heart, so I like to talk about Jesus, what happened when you come to Jesus. And some people don't, you know, when I was born again, I didn't really know what happened to me. I thought that Jesus was only my Savior. I didn't know I was born again under Pentecost. Well, it tells you that Pentecostal, it tells me that Jesus is my Savior, and then I can carry on and just live as I lived before. I didn't know that I was free, that Jesus, I was free from sin. I didn't know that that I was separated from my sinful life, and that God gave me a place where he gave me his righteousness. I didn't know that. It took me years to come there. So I would appeal to the church to be merciful to those that are young in the Lord that do not walk according to what you think they should be walking. You know, the Lord has a lot of mercy in those that just come to know him. Because when you come to know him, you have a lot of failure around you. Lots of failure because you have not known the power of Christ quite yet. You have not known that you're free from sin, so therefore you put sin aside. That takes time. There's a lot of mercy and a lot of love of God to cause you to forgive yourself. You don't even know that you have the Holy Spirit quite yet either. There's a lot of things you don't know when you first come to Christ. It takes years sometimes to walk, to replace the sin in you, the mind of sin in you with the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. It's a very powerful John 6:53-58, Chad, can you put that up? It talks about his blood, the blood of Christ. Because this, praise of Jesus. That's probably why you say you're going to pray for me, because I hesitate, right? I'll get my flow, don't you worry. I'll get it. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Yeah? 54, 55, 58. Right up to 58. 6:55. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefather ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. See, when you come to Christ, that's what you got to do. You got to come to trust him. You came to believe in him that day. When you came to believe in him, you believed in him. But after that, there's a lot more of him than that. There's the word, which is the living water. And when you read it, because now you have been giving the Spirit, it says that when you come to believe Christ, you've been giving the Spirit, which is a gift, which is the Holy Spirit. And you need that Holy Spirit to open the word. That's what a lot of people claim to have Christ, but they don't have the Spirit. So they read the word. I won't name no denomination for that, but there is some where they read the word, but it's all messed up. But when you have the Holy Spirit, this becomes alive. This is the word of God. You know, we are in the end time. Somebody came to me once and says, oh, I think you should go back to the Torah. And I said, hold on a minute. I've been reading the word for 30 years in English, my second language. And it's perfect because it's opened to me by the Holy Ghost. I don't need to go to a different language. I don't need to go to two different languages. I don't do that. I go and the Word of God is perfect. Like imagine, it comes and you know it. You experienced it. And I praise the Lord for His Word. He knew He needed to write it for us because He needed to remind us because we forget quickly. I wanted to talk about also about believe and unbelief. Believe and unbelief. This is in you, to believe and to unbelieve. You struggle with that. We all do struggle with believe and unbelief all the time. It says that in my heart I delight in the law of God. In my mind I delight in the law of sin. So there is an opposite struggle that happens all the time. Okay? So so it says, how do you eat my blood? It says, eat my blood. Drink my blood and eat my flesh. How do you do that? What does that mean? That means that you believe in it. You let it be. What does it mean? I have to think of it myself. What does it mean to eat his blood and drink his blood and eat his flesh? It means that it becomes you. You become resident of God in you. Or God is in you. And you take it along with you. Now it says that as we gather together in here today, He's in the midst. He's here. And somebody said to me, I'm going to pray. I pray for you. You go tomorrow. I'm going to pray. And I said to him, I said, you know, what's off Gaston? Let it fall. What's off Gaston will not feed you. But what's off Jesus comes true. That's why I'm trying to communicate the most powerful things that I know that could touch your heart. I only have a small window of opportunity here, myself right here. And it's a privilege, really, to speak to all of you. And I want to give you the best. What do I have? What do I have so I'm here? Why am I up here? What's about me that I could tell you? Well, I can tell you that I suffer a lot. Because I'm very sensitive. But because I'm sensitive, I'll discern things that nobody else will. But I hurt there. I will discern what hurts. And often I sit in the pews and I discern a lot. I should write it down and pass it on. Because that's a lot of wisdom in that. Lots of wisdom. We struggle a lot alone and we don't pass on the good stuff. Okay? But in that, I learn God. I learn the mercy of Jesus. I learn how to forgive myself. I learn emotional upheaval in my heart. You know, I was sick all week again. I'm sick all most of the time. And I tell you, when you go in your bed, you go there and you experience God is with you. And you go in an emotional upheaval. What I mean is you go there and you decipher within your head what's of God, what's not of God. But the Holy Spirit is there with you. Holy Spirit never leaves you, guides you into all truth. I have scriptures for that. Right here, somewhere. I'll find it later. It's in here, but it's good. Another thing that I suffer a lot from is rejection. This is difficult for me to be up here. Because when there used to be a time, 8 years ago, there's no way I could not talk in public. Because I had the spirit of rejection that followed me. Huh? And I would leave, and I would suffer for a whole week because I didn't say the right thing. I didn't say it right. I didn't say it the right way. It was not what I wanted to say. It was this. It was that. And then the devil just follows you. I'm free from that today because I came through. You have to decide within yourself, like God, yeah, to recognize God within you. And He calls you to forgive yourself all the time. It says, He weighs it with you. He said, Gaston, you know, like He gives you wisdom. He weighs with you with your mind. And He walks with you in your own understanding. He's there in the bed with you and you're so depressed you cannot move. And He says, you know, what would be the best thing for you to do right now, Gaston? You know, like, what really inspires your heart? Like, even just do one little thing. Just do something, you know, like, I don't know, just do a gentle thing towards your wife. I don't know, like, I've done something lately that's good. It's good, and I know it's God. I'm telling you. See how you see the sensitivity in me, but that's love. That's the love of God, and God created that in me, okay? But I, it's very simple. Actually, I go to my wife's bed, and I open it up, and I set up the pillows for her, and I put the cover. She likes a cover. She likes to be just like a kitten in there, like, and she likes a cover, and I set a bed for her. Now, you know, you do that here and then, what have you, like a little aspect of love that is from God, the pureness of God, the love of God, that's where it happens. And in here, this church has those people that practice that. That's true. Because, you know, people over the years here have said, you know, there's something nice about Potter's. I never heard anything wrong about that place. You know, and, you know, that's because there's a lot of love here. And you're going to experience it. But, you know, the love, if we are capable of loving, is because God calls us to come to that place. He has changed us and sanctified us to choose to love instead of hating. You know, I want to share something with you. I want to share this. Say you have discernment about someone. Say you, we always do. Like, we come in the church and we struggle with the judgment of hatred within us. Right away, right off the bat. And then you have to decide what's of God and what's not of God in that. You know, she's too tall, she's too small. Well, everybody represents a certain flavor, right? So you'll struggle within yourself about judgment. But what about, you would say, any judge? God says that if you keep that judgment and you gossip about it, you be careful with that. Because that judgment will come around, and you'll be judged the same way. You're going to experience the same flavor that you gave out. But I found a new way. I found a new way about that. What I find now that is those judgments, I find it to be a discernment. See, you discern it as being a discernment. So you discern something about your sister, and you say, okay, now you go home and you pray about her. You pray for her. You discern this. Now you're elevating your discernment to a new space where you bring it to love. So now, who am I to you? Yeah, you're a stranger to me, and I discern something about you. But I say, oh, Lord, it's a form of love. You know, I love you. I love you without knowing you. And now you're entering into a sphere of love, which is really Christ in you. About Joseph. I wrote some scriptures, and to me, scripture is important. And when Jesus speaks, it's important. So I wrote a scripture here, Mark 12, 28, 34. So I'm going to take that out. Mark 12, Chad, my good friend Chad. Praise the Lord for the church and the redeemed. Certain flavors that I... to be enjoyed. Mark 12, 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus is giving them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offering and sacrifice. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You notice what the guy said? He understood what Jesus said to him. See, the most important part is love. most important. And he says, oh, what I like about that, he says, you understood that. You're not far away from my kingdom. See, Jesus is all about love. And when we fail him, is that because we have failed to love. Right? And what makes a church strong is that the amount of love that there is within her. Like, if you have some key people that are loving, that are accepting, that say, come along me, I'll walk with you. What you did wrong, that doesn't matter to me. That's between you and God. I mean, my job is to love you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm your friend. I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to be your sister. I'm going to be your brother. And I'm just going to walk with you to love you, just to accept you. And we elevate, like when we've been elevated to that level, then everything's functioned within that. Because once I forgive you, I don't judge you for who you are or for the level of where you're at, or my discernment of you doesn't hinder me to be communicating with you, then I help you reach a new place. And that's what it's all about. We all need to go to new places. You know, God does not leave us where we're at. He brings us to a new place all the time. Like, some people are just new in the Lord where they need to learn Christ. But some of us know a lot about God, but we have a problem with our love. We have a problem with our acceptance. We'd rather gossip than... Even the gossiper, you got to love. Even the people that accuse you falsely, you got to love. It says, love your enemy. Love those that are come against you falsely. What about the people that took you to court on stuff? They are more to be pitied than you be in court. Because it says you are defeated already. It says if you take your brother to court, you're defeated already. So now have mercy on them because they're in trouble. Their heart is in trouble. Discern that. Pray for them. Love them. Pray for your enemy. Take them out of there. And, you know, there's a scripture here that says that. It's about love. It's gone. I'm going to go to it. Praise Jesus. I asked the Lord, I came across the scriptures once, which is interesting to me. I'll throw it at you because these nuggets are the one that makes me want to have more. It says, if you want to be the greatest among the kingdom in the new life, when Christ comes back, we go to be with him. I said, preach my commands. I said, Lord, how can I preach you 10 commandments? Because they brought death. He says, well, now I fulfill the law. And now the law is about love. The new commandment is about love, right? And he said, I wrote the 10 commandments on your heart. So what are they? I said, well, love your neighbors as yourself. I said, yeah. But what about the 10 commandments? I said, how can I preach those and be the greatest among you? He said, well, preach love. So preached about love. So what's the 10 commandments written on your heart? Well, it says you should not covet. You should not kill. Okay, so what about I look at my neighbor. I shall not covet. I shall not steal his truck. And I shall not kill his son. And I should covet his wife. And I should not. So it's all, if you look at them, it's all about love. I wouldn't steal my friend's truck or my neighbor's truck. See, it's about love. See, all these commands now are all about love. Hallelujah. You know, there's a new thing coming in the next few years here as Christ comes back. You're going to see the purity of Christ in you. And some people will fall off because they're not going to be able to stand the love. It says, like, in the end time, your love will be challenged. So that a lot of people will be lover of themselves before they choose to love God. That's a sad thing, but that's a true reality. But those that remain and that stays true will have a purity that will raise the dead. And that would walk with you to make you walk so that you walk securely. That would be a new love that you never experienced before. I believe that we have not walked in the fullness of what we could have had. And part of that is because of Christianity. There's a little bit of Christianity, and sometimes that hinders the Spirit of God. But I believe that that's going to fall off. It's going to fall off where, you know, because it does say in the scriptures that we will do greater things than what he has done. He says, if you believe in me, you'll do greater things. And lately, this is about believe and unbelief. Believe and unbelief. I always struggle with unbelief. I have. For some reason, I have. So I was always afraid to lay a hand on somebody and so in case they didn't get healed. And then it would reflect on me. But that's not so true anymore. I said, well, no, every time I have a chance now, I lay hands on somebody so they get healed. So at least give them a chance to get healed. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, we're blessed here because we have a gifted speaker that goes about with this little microphone. It goes, hallelujah, and he goes all over the place so natural. You know, I just love that. We're really, truly blessed with that. You know, last time I spoke here, I stand up on that chair. Stand up on those chairs. Because I always saw the freedom of pastor, like, Stan is quite free. And sometimes he'll walk on the chair. And I always desired that for me. I did. So out of the blue, I walked in there. And I suffered from rejection over that after that. I said, well, Gaston, I don't know. Like, they'll never call you back in there. You're kind of flippy-floppy in there, like, you know, walking in the chairs. Come on. Get serious here. See, that's the beautiful thing about God is that I'm not ashamed of who I am. Hallelujah. And who we are is very important that you are who you are because you are, like God elevated the foolishness of the world to confront the wise. Oh, well, some of us qualify more than others, right? The foolishness of the world to confront the wise. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And then he brought us up so that he says we are a body that are together and grows up in him, Christ is the head, the whole body joined together, the ligament grows in love, and each does its work. So we're all very essential to one another. So let's be careful when gossip comes in. You know, those meetings we always goes to and say, well, this guy over there has got a problem with this, and this girl over there has a problem with this. You can have those conversations if you want. And I don't like to be in them. But I think we could elevate these. This is good discernment. It's okay to discern. But bring it to prayer. Bring the people to prayer. And say, this problem, this guy always has this problem. It drives me crazy. Okay, good. It says, if you see your brother, the scripture says that. It says, you see brother lack wisdom. Often that comes from that. Lack wisdom, go home, pray for him. Let's do what God says to do. Bring it up. Bring it up. Like we're here for one another. And we've been planted here. And I'm very thankful for this place and this church where we can be ourselves. You know, I would like you to pray for me for one thing. I love to preach. I preach at the nursing home once a month. And I like to preach every week, once a week. Once a week. You know why? Because when I go to preach, I'm very much enthused about all week, all day, every day, I look for the word. Oh, I'm looking for the word. I'm looking for something to give. I want to do something good. And it's empowering, really. It really is a privilege to be here. I have a friend that wants to go to Bangladesh. Holy moly. You know, and he preached to 2,000 people there. 2,000. And over there, you know, I'd go. I'd probably die there. But I would go. Because it's, you know, because you know, I'm not going to speak that. Hallelujah. Right here, right now. Luke 6:27-36, it says, love your enemies. I'm going to go to that. You know, love is an easy subject. I find that speaking about love does not penetrate very readily. I think I like to speak more of the author of love, which is Jesus. He is the one that showed me how to love. He is the one that gonna cause me to love more, or to come out of the situation I'm in now. You know, we all have struggles. It's not because I'm here that I'm preaching that I don't have any. Like, should I go home? I'm sick most of the time. That I'm miserable. And miserable lacks love. My miserableness will lack love. But God, the Holy Spirit, is with me. And he doesn't let me do whatever I want to do. And he will promote a new way in me to overcome even in the midst of sickness, to overcome even in the midst of miserableness. He will cause me to rise above it. Sometimes I have to give it time. Sometimes I have to give it words. Sometimes I have to give it faith. Sometimes I have to make the decision of what he's saying or listen to what he's saying. Right? Sometimes it's not easy out there to live. But the Holy Ghost is there. Why do you think he gave it? He said, because you are a partaker of his divine nature. And he wants you to live according to his desire. So through the sanctification of your mind, change your mind. So you start to switch of what you used to desire into what he desires in an increasing measure. Hallelujah. God calls us to triumph if we just come to hear. Now, when I came to Christ, I hardly knew the Spirit of God. I didn't know the voice of God. I actually, there was a time where I had a friend that go to prayer all the time. He wanted always to pray. And I said, I don't want to go. And then he moved to Kelowna, and there was a meeting, remnants. There was a remnants of a meeting. And it was in the basement somewhere. And I'm looking for Alvin there. Because I think it must have been 15, 20 years ago. And it was, you know, we just gather every Tuesday night and we pray for one another. But there was a chair there in the middle. Sometimes there was 3 of us, sometimes there was 20 of us. When I hang up there, everybody got in a chair and everybody got prayed for at the end of the night. And then the leader there, which was, his name was James Bradley, he would encourage us to come and pray for one another. So sometimes I'd be on the chair and get in prayer for, and sometimes I'd be praying for you. You're on the chair. And that's really where I discovered God's voice, right there. I discovered his Holy Spirit. I guess I had it all along, but I couldn't hear it. I didn't know what it was. It takes time to discover what God is saying into you, what he's saying about. It takes time. So I would pray for this lady. And then I start hearing what God was telling me, what the Holy Spirit was telling me. And I'll give you an example of that. Success stories are good stories, okay? This woman says, you know, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and she was sitting there, and she was about 38 years old. I have a 10-year-old daughter, and my parents never met her. So that was part of her story, and she tells me that. And then after that, she'd say, but you know, when I was 15 years old and I left home and I said, I'll never be back here. I'll never come back here. I have nothing to do with you people. And I said, whoa, hold on a minute. well, you said that when you left. I know you're 38 and you're still saying that. She said, yeah. Well, I tell you what. I said, you have a daughter that your parents never saw, but you almost cursed yourself. You cursed them, you cursed yourself. They will never come around. You said that when you left at 15, you know, you're 38, you're still saying that. So this, God told me, it says, you go get her to repent from saying that. I said, you got to repent from that. But I mean, like, you curse, you put a curse out, and it just follows you. I said, you know, don't you see that it could be wrong? You see that, you know, that may have been your heart when you were 15, but what should it be now? Okay? So she repented. And then I saw, you know, you'll find this strange, but I don't care. I saw an oak tree attached to her back. But an oak tree has lots of roots, and it's big. It was attached to her back. So I said, that is a curse that keep followed you. I'm going to cut that off in the name of Jesus. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I cut that tree out of you. That curse that you spoke all these years, I've spoken out of you. I just saw that. I just did it. Just faith, simple faith, right? And so that was it. That was that. I don't know. She skipped a week. The next week she came. She said, guess what? What? Well, last weekend my parents showed up at my door. And they wanted to take my daughter to Edmonton for the weekend. Ah, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? See, when you come to following, knowing the Holy Spirit, and my brother Alvin came to those meetings back then. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is a very important part of your walk with the Lord. Very important. Very important. Like, I went to this meeting not so long ago, and there was George Morrison teaching. And he says, very wise man, very good teacher. He says, I position myself every day to be in the presence of the Lord, usually early in the morning, so that it affects the whole day. So when I, either through the word or either through a prayer with my wife, it always includes his wife in there. Marilyn, what is that her name? Marilyn? Madeline. He always says that. I love the guy. Me and Madeline. So when we came out from that meeting, like, we started that, my wife and I. So, well, there's one thing that we have done. You know, sometimes you say, oh, I love to pray 1 hour a day. I probably said that for years. So in reality, I was giving God crumbs from my table, where I would, in a period of a day, the only thing I would do is pray over my meal. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we can be in a church, but we don't take Jesus home. Now, so my wife and I, when we came out of there, we said, we're going to do that. That's where that book start to come, where we read that every morning, and then we read the scriptures, or we spend an hour. Well, I tell you, you start doing that, an hour and a half goes right by. And I made a list of different people that we could pray for. And sometimes, you know, the answers, the prayer are answers, so you change the list, put a new list in there. Then you get involved. And I tell you, you go and tap into Jesus, and because you please him when you enter in by faith. You're saved by faith. But every time you pray by faith. He loves that. He's actually created you just for that purpose. God took the, he knew sin would come in, but he had no choice, because he wanted to create you, not a robot. He had to create you so that you would be yourself. So he took a chance. But he wanted you also to have a relationship with you out of faith. He loves that. He loves it when you come to him by faith. And then you pray by faith. You love him by faith. You pray for the sick by faith. You choose to love instead of hating. You choose to love instead of gossiping. You say, Lord, start a work in me in my gossip. Start a love in that part of me that loves to gossip. Start something there. Do something in me. Bring me to a new level. Hallelujah. You know, I'm sitting on a planet in the middle of nowhere. And often I go on the street, when I do go on the street, and it used to be that my gospel was so long, I could not catch the people on the street. There's a pan of attention. Anybody you want to preach to, you cannot have a story this long. It cannot be 4 minutes long because they are gone. So I asked the Lord, I said, give me a focused gospel so that I can save them. And so one time I went to Staple and there was a cashier there. And by the time she did what I wanted her to do, which is laminate the little card, and by the time she was at the end, she was saved. I gave her Jesus, and at the end, she was saved. Praise the Lord. I said, you want that? She said, yeah, I want that. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And then you release it, right? Plant the seed. So, praise the Lord, that's good. I'm trying to give you all of the little things that are powerful. And then I just let it fall. You know, I throw the seeds in. You know, when my sister was talking there and I was experiencing something, I was listening very carefully. And I felt like what she was saying rolling right over me, right into me. And I said, this is the way it happens. What's of Gaston falls to the ground, but what's of God comes in and feed a part of you that needs to be fed. One step at a time. Only half an hour here. But these are life-changing times when Christ speaks to make you understand something you never understood. Like, I cannot recall everything I've said just now. But what's of God is the morsel, the nugget that makes you triumph, makes you say, oh, I desire that. Oh, I want that. Oh, that's my problem with me. Oh, yeah, I'm going to resolve within my heart to address that problem in me. And that's how we triumph. We say, oh, yeah, I have a little problem in that. You don't tell nobody else, but I have a big problem with that. I mean, don't tell nobody else either. But God knows. He knows what your difficulties are. But he knows that he can, over time, cause you to triumph. You know, that's something I would like to do in this church sometimes. There's a lot of people that have sexual addiction as a man of God, as men, that have secrets. So I like to offer a prayer. You know, I have a lot of, not a lot, but sometimes I have requests from homosexual, I used to be almost, that are men, Christian men that struggle with that. Well, that's not a good thing to struggle with. It's a difficult thing because if you're married, that's difficult. If you're not married, you're a Christian, that's a difficult place to be too. You know what I mean? Like that's, so I want to pass it on there that if there's also pornography that's an issue for men in the church as a man of God. You know, pornography, lust, sexual addiction, you know. Like, I don't specialize in such a, I don't specialize in drugs per se, but I would say that I could specialize in sexual addiction for sure. And the freedom of it, just freedom. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So you know that this church, there's prayer for that. Like, if you have problem with that, if you know some people have problem with that, tell them that there is freedom in Christ and that they can be sent to people that went through it themselves, and they can say, some people have a heart to be free, you know that? They don't say it because they don't know where there is available. Who will announce that? Who announced that? You know, you come for prayer if you have problem with lust, if you have problem with pornography, or And I know it's prevalent. I know it's all over the place. I know that. And homosexuality, you don't hear from that. You don't hear that. But, you know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that he calls us to put things aside. We change our mind so that we change our mind towards what's of him, from him. Say, sanctify our mind. And that's what he did for our sister there. Isn't that wonderful? Give you an experience that go, oh yeah, I want that. Just the father figure, I received that weekend too. It's the father figure. The father is a perfect father. Don't you love that? Perfect father. Well, we cannot say that we had that on this earth, but he's a perfect father. Meaning, Jesus is the perfect father. It means that every day he acts, anytime he talks to you, is with the perfect father attitude. Because he never departs from that role. He is who he is. He never departs from that. Amen? So he always, when he talks to you, that's always with a good intention. And sometimes he leaves you in a discipline. He leaves you in an experience of discipline so that you would learn a new thing, or you'll learn to know him. So I want to pray for some people that are sick today. I want some people are sick. I want to lay hands on you and pray. Because I have a new faith. I struggled with unbelief towards sickness before. And I want to overcome that by saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I will see the dead raised. I will see it. And I will see. Because we in the end time, and if I were to ask some of you, how close do you think Christ is to return? How close? You're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. And if you haven't been aware of it, it started already. The rumble on the edge of town that's coming. And you're going to see a lot of hatred still coming your way. Because you are demanded to love and love your enemy. So therefore, it says there's no merit in loving those that love you. That's easy. But love those that hate you and despise you, and you know they speak about you, and you know we have learned that in this church in the last 2 years. And it's a good thing. It caused us to either triumph over it and to become the loving machine that we are called to do. But there's failure around us. We're going to fail, and we're going to have to forgive those that are failing and love them. Praise the Lord. So anybody want some prayer for healing? I know, Stan, you're waiting to. Come on, Stan. I love you, man. Prayer. Do you? Come over here, I'll pray for you. Tell me, what do you have? You have a cold? Oh, stay away from me. Actually, I've had a bad cold in my throat all week. Uh-huh. I didn't think I would make it here today. Uh-huh. But I woke up this morning 80% better. How about that? So, Father, according to your word, not Gaston, according to your word, not Gaston, according to what you say we should do, Father, in Jesus' name, you say, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for you. Hallelujah. I pray for your lungs. Is that what's in your lungs? Yeah?
Head. Mostly head.
Oh, it's in your head. Fix everything else in there, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that you are the one that do the work. And we're going to insist on doing it until we see the evidence of it. Is there unbelief in here? Unbelief that would block Jesus? No. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do the work in Jesus' name. Father, according to your word, according to your love, in Jesus' name, amen. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Pardon? Yeah, more healing, yeah.
Why don't we do that?
Let's do that.
I want the mic first, because I think I want you to be part of that.
I'm out.
No, you're not out, but I want... Well, we have 10 minutes, so I want to make sure there's opportunity for people to be prayed for who feel like they need to be healed, because I think there might be other people, and it could be a cold. Maybe you got a bad back. Maybe you've got a bad diagnosis. There you go. There could be lots of reasons for that, and I think that we'll ask Gaston, because you're talking about that today and about how we need to be a body, right? So I just want to piggyback on that and agree with that today. You're going to be part of that. You need some prayer, Bonnie? Okay, so rather than do it one at a time, because that's going to take a long time, I think we'll get a chance for more people to come forward. But before we do that, I want you to come with me. There we go. Hallelujah. See, a lot of people have never experienced this, right? This is a great feeling to be up here. And we're going to say, we're going to say this together. This is what the message was. Love one another, right? Say it with me.
Love one another.
Love one another, right? Love one another. The Bible says that when one of you is weak, then you're all weak. When one of you are struggling, you're all struggling. When one of you is strong, then you're strong together. So we stand up together. I love your word. And I want to speak into your life. That tomorrow you don't feel defeated. You don't question this again. Tomorrow when you look back and you go, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that, or I was just rambling on. I know that feeling, by the way. You're going to remember that we stood tall, right? We stood tall, and we loved each other. Amen? Okay, we need a couple other leaders to come up to be here. So especially some of the leaders from our church who are here. Would you want to come up, Doug? Alvin? Chad? That'll give us 3 or 4 people. And is Robin here? Can we just maybe you and Marg just sing a song, just the two of you, okay? So I want you just to, as we close today, to listen to what God was saying through our brother. God said that we are to love each other. And he's, you know what he's saying that's really encouraging is that we're doing this. We're learning to do it, and we're doing it better and better. There is real, authentic love in this place. And even when we struggle, even when we go through hard times, that's sometimes when the love shines and rises. It rises through the cracks, right? And that we're a body. Do you believe that? We are. We're the body of Christ. We're one body, and there's one Holy Spirit, and the whole message was about the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. Maybe you remember last week, I mentioned that passage from John 14, that you know the Spirit because he lives in you, and he is with you. Remember that? You know the Holy Spirit. Don't let anyone tell you. Don't doubt this. You have the Holy Spirit in you because he lives in you. God is in you. Amen? All right. So let's practice that love. Practice the love. We're going to be praying. If you need prayer, come right now. Don't wait for 10 minutes from now. You need prayer, come right now. Let's just bow our heads. God, we pray right now in Jesus' name, in response to your word, in response to this good gospel message that we are filled with the love of Jesus Christ. We're coming right now in the name of Jesus. We're coming to be prayed for. We're coming, God, because we need you, and you're the only one who can heal us.
Right.
We're coming for wholeness, for wellness. We're coming to receive what you want us to receive. Can you say amen? In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, like Gaston mentioned, Jesus said that you will do even greater things than what I've done. And there's an opportunity for healing. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's something inside. Maybe there's something that you haven't been able to forgive. I know some of the things that he said just struck my heart today. We need to forgive those who've been our enemies and those who have hated us. So maybe that's something you need to come forward to for today as well. You guys got a song?
Yep. Jesus' name above all names.
Good one. Let's sing that together. Jesus' name above all names. Come to Jesus. Why don't we all stand? Let's worship him.
Jesus, name above all names. Beautiful Savior. Glorious Lord,
Lord. Let's sing that again. Let's worship God. As we worship God, He moves. He's moving right now in His Spirit. Just come. Come for prayer.
Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Sing it again, just worship God.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
I just want to stop a minute. Some of you have a gift of healing and you haven't been able to practice it, or you don't know exactly how to use it. It needs to come under the leadership, under the heading of the leaders of the church. I'm going to do something that we don't do very often, but I just feel that I'm being led today to do that. If you feel that you have this gift, you have a gift of healing, this is one of the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you. I want you to come, and under the leadership of the leaders who are here, I want you just to stand around these people who are asking for prayer. Come right now. You have a gift of healing? Come to the front. Don't be afraid. Just join. We're going to join together. We're going to ask God to heal the brokenhearted. We're going to ask God to bring forgiveness where we haven't been able to forgive. We're going to ask God to restore and to replace what the enemy's stolen. Some of you are grieving. Just listen to me. Some of you are grieving. I invite you to come for prayer. Your hearts are broken. Why don't you come and just receive the peace and the mercy and the grace and the healing power of Jesus Christ. If you want to join us, you have this gift of healing, you know you do, just come. We want to be a body that loves each other. Let's sing it.
Jesus, name above all names, glorious Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Lift it up.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us,
blessed
Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names,
name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray for healing, Jesus. Just wrap your arms, Lord. Wrap your arms around your children. We are your sons and your daughters. We're no longer orphans. We're no longer wanderers. You say today that we belong. You belong to me. You're my child. You are precious in my sight. You are holy because I say you're holy, and I've paid with my blood for your righteousness. Thank you, Jesus. We just pray today, God, that all bitterness, all anger, and unforgiveness, I would just break off right now. in Jesus' name. And Lord, where our hearts are crusty and hard, we pray that you would soften our hearts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Make our hearts soft and open our ears today to just listen to you. Thank you, Jesus. God is with us, precious Redeemer, living Word. Sing it one more time. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, living Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Before I give you a parting blessing, I just want to say one last thing. So just hear this one last thing. I think there's still a few of you here. You know that God's asking you to respond to Him today. You know it. You know that God's tugging on your heart. You know you're hearing the Holy Spirit. You know that God wants something of you. I want to ask Crystal to come up and stand here, and Gertie, will you guys just stand right here, Crystal and Gertie? So before you leave today, and I don't know what it is that God is moving you to do, but I want you to come and bring that before God as well. Something that you need to leave here that you can't take with you. That's what I'm getting from God. You cannot walk out of this place with the same bitterness and anger or pride or greed or gossip or whatever it is. Leave it here, and then you can go. Amen. Are you hearing that? And there's still 10 people up here who'll pray with you. If you leave today and you take this with you, maybe it's regret. Maybe it's regret. Boy, I'll tell you, regret can be a big thing in our lives. I know this. Leave it here. Don't take it with you. Take it to Jesus. And this is what He says to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. God give you His peace. God bless you. God go with you. Go in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are clean because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
You say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Let me hear you shout it. Hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I'm not hearing it. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel.
See?